Parshas Vayishlach. We find in this week's parsha, just after Shlishi, in the Torah writes, Al Kain Lo Yechlu Bnei Yisrael Es Gid Anoshe. Klal Yisrael should not eat the Gid Anoshe, Asher Al Kaf HaYorech Ad HaYom HaZeh, until this very day. And this, of course, is in commemoration of the struggle, the satanic struggle between the Malach of Esav and Yaakov. Esav's Malach is unable to get the better of Yaakov. As we know, he tried to displace the Gid HaNoshe, or specifically the Bai, the Kaf Yirechoi. And because of that, therefore, we do not eat forevermore the Gid HaNoshe. So the simplest interpretation is that of the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, and this very much reminds us of what we discussed at great length a couple of weeks ago, that this is an eternal reminder for us that much as they try, but the Goyim can never get the better of Klal Yisrael. So even though the Malach of Esav tried to harm Yaakov in a spiritual and a physical way, but ultimately he was unable to. Try as he may, and the Sefer HaChinuch says this is really representative of the entire history of Klal Yisrael. The expression that we remember discussed a couple of weeks ago, the kibso achat bein shivim ze'evim, the sheep which is surrounded by the 70 wolves, and yet the 70 wolves are unable to get the better of the one solitary feeble little sheep. That is the nes, that is the miracle of Klal Yisrael's survival. And therefore we do not eat the Gid HaNoshe to commemorate that, because this was the Maisa Oveis, Siman Levonim, as it were, to this phenomena. And therefore that's why the Torah says, for never, we should never eat the Gid HaNoshe. This will be an eternal reminder that Klal Yisrael will never be wiped out by the Goyim. There are many other explanations in the past we have discussed. What I'd like to discuss tonight is a very novel interpretation. Perhaps this evening will be a little bit different, perhaps, to normal. There is a very novel interpretation by the Kli Yocha. And the reason why it's novel is because the way he translates the words over here. The Kli Yocha says as follows. We normally translate the word Gid. What's the Gid HaNoshe? The sinew or the tissue. The Kli Yocha says that those matters that are very deep, secretive, deep matters in Torah are compared to a gid. And he brings a proof for that, because on the Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, when it says, Vesagid l'bnei Yisrael, Vesagid, again, very similar word, Vesagid l'bnei Yisrael, Rashi there talks about Dvorim HaKoshim Kegidim, those matters that are as difficult and as deep as Gidim. Now, why there should be a comparison between Gidim and deep matters is a discussion for another day. But Al-Kotonim, you see that the word Gid can be a metaphoric reference to those deep items, the secrets of the Torah. In that light, the Kli Yocha has a brand new interpretation, of course, not al derech hapshat, but at least al derech haremes. Lo yoichlu bnei Yisrael es gid hanosha. Do not consume, do not chew over the secretive items of the Torah. The way he puts it, the remez the mitzvah zu. There is a hint in this mitzvah, obviously this is not the prime translation by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a hint, l'doirei forevermore, limnoya, to refrain, mi Yisrael, hachakira benistoris. What does the word nistoros mean? From the word sefer, hidden. Do not toil, do not get involved in the hidden secret aspects of the Torah. And he makes reference to the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga says so clearly. The Gemara there discusses very difficult to understand matters. You have the sky and the heavens, and what's above that, and what's above that, and what's above that. And eventually the Gemara says, that's it. B'mechusa mimcha al tachter. What is concealed from you, do not examine. B'meh shehurshis hisboini. That which is permitted, you may think about. Ein lecha esek. Do not have any involvement b'nistoris. As we know, the famous Gemara. The Gemara says we do not discuss questions like what preceded the world and what will be after the world. Those are hidden secrets, that's not our involvement at all. So the Kriyaka says that's what's going on over here as well. Why is that important? If there is the revealed aspect of the Torah and there is also the hidden, secretive aspect of the Torah, why can you not get involved in the second part of Torah? So he says, pen yerzu sichlom. It can be destructive of the mind. V'yavoyu lidei apikorsus. Person can become apikorsus. Very scary. He says, loy rabin. Not many can really, truly fathom kol hasoidois, all deep secrets of the Torah. And he says, this therefore is what's being hinted to. If Yaakov Avinu, the greatest of all people, as it were, had his gid, which is the remnant, the deep aspects of the Torah, this place, he said, well, what are we going to say? This is only Meyuchad, this is the realms of Yechideis Gulei Hadoir. Let the Yechidim of the Doir, the big Kabbalists, let them be involved. But for us, the regular person, we are not involved in that aspect of Torah Bichlal. Now obviously, as we mentioned before, this is not the simple interpretation, but as the Kriyaka says, it's a Rebbe. Al-Kein lo yoichu b'nei Yisrael is gid. Do not consume the gid. Do not involve yourself with a hidden, secret aspect of the Torah. There is a famous pasuk, which we're all familiar with, of course, in Parshas Nitzavim, Hanistoris. Those things that are hidden, Lashem Elokeinu. We will leave those for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hanigloif, those things that are revealed, Lonu Olavanenu, that's our area of involvement in Torah. So this is the famous principle, as the Gemara Chagiga that we mentioned says, Ein Lecha Esek, do not have any involvement, v'nistoris, that which is hidden. So this is the subject that I'd like to look at a little bit tonight. So I did a bit of a search. I found lots of very interesting nuggets and very interesting and important ideas on this subject of Ein Lecha Esek Benistoris. We don't get involved in the secret and the hidden aspects of the Torah, and as we'll see, there are many halachic ramifications of this and some very interesting and some scary stories to share as well. One of the first sources that I found was a discussion in the Maharshal. The Maharshal was a very, very early Achrim. We're talking about a Sefer of Shlomo Luria that was written about 500 years ago. There is a discussion there with regard to a Shaila and Hilchas Tefillin. Specifically, but when you put on your Tefillin, should you be standing or sitting? Now, interestingly, La Halacha, there is a difference today between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. The Ashkenazim, as we know, put on our tefillin both the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, standing up. So too, when we take off our tefillin, we do the same. But the Sephardim don't. They differentiate, if I'm not mistaken, between the Shel Yad, Shel Rosh and the Shel Yad. But be that as it may, there is a discussion over here in the Maharshal. Now, the Maharshal is, of course, an Ashkenazi Achron. So he writes as follows. He says, I heard and I've been told that there are proofs to this subject from Kabbalistic sources. And that therefore may sway the discussion in one direction or another. Lochein, he says, Ahuvi, my loved one, Al Teilech V'derech Itom. Don't go down that route. And listen to the words he says. V'ein lecha esek benistoris. direct quote from the Gemara Chagig we mentioned before. Don't go into those hidden aspects of Torah that halavai, I wish sheyodu hagluim, I wish we'd know the revealed part of the Torah. We're running for the secretive part of the Torah. And he says, therefore, that I've heard the very great people in Klal Yisrael, the Trumas Hadeshem, was one of the Rishonim. He put on his tefillin in the way that we've always been doing. Al Kain, he says, don't change. The way you've always put on your tefillin, keep on doing so. This is what he writes, the Shoyal. Al Mashane Yodri, anybody who wants to tamper and change that which is the custom of Klal Yisrael is getting involved in a very dangerous area. And specifically, if you're basing yourself on the hidden secrets of the Torah, in Chayitik Ben Historis. Marshal says, just keep putting on tefillin the way you've always done so. The Chacham Tzvi, perhaps 200 years later, about 300 years ago, was asked the following shayla. He says, two people came to shul, and the chazan is already in the middle of Psukhi de Zimra. So he's almost up to Yishtabach. So the question is, what are you supposed to do now? One of them decided, listen, I want to start Shmoina Esra together with a tzibul, Tzilib a tzibul. But I've come late to shul. So therefore, if I now begin from the beginning of davening, I won't be able to catch up in time, and when the tzibur starts Shmoneh Esra, I'll still be finishing off Psukhi de Zimra. When I'm ready to say Shmoneh Esra, they'll be finished. Where's my tzibur? Because of that, he missed out Psukhi de Zimra, and just joined them basically whatever they were up to. Meanwhile, the second one says, no, I found in Sefer HaZoyar, written by Rashbi of Shumbe Yechai, that what you're supposed to do is begin from the beginning. That's what this argument was between two people. So they wrote to the Chacham Tzvi, could you please be the arbitrator? Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu. Could our Rebbe please teach us which one is the correct? V'tzorich ani lohaydiya l'shoyel, he says. I need to inform the question. That even if it's true that in the Zohar this is the way it appears, it's not for us to leave the poiskim and Teiras HaNigla b'shvil dvarim ha'amurim b'sistrei Teirah. This is the hidden secret of Teirah. V'ein lonu b'dinim. When it comes to our dinim, we have no asek b'nistaris. Again, that phrase. And he says a very, very powerful line. This is the Yesod of the Torah, as we mentioned before in the Kliyok. The Zohar and other Kabbalistic secretive sources of the Torah are very, very difficult to understand. As the Kliyok writes, a person can end up becoming an apikoros, because if he distorts, even not meaning to do so, but he can misinterpret and misunderstand the Zohar and other Kabbalistic sources and end up terrible with a complete opposite conclusion of what the Zohar in fact meant. He says, Nosata Torah Kol Echad VeEchad BiYodei. Everybody's going to come along with their original interpretation of the Zohar. And he says, U'ba'avoinei Seinu, he says, we've seen this as well. People have gone down this route and it's produced terrible, terrible, terrible results. And therefore he says, as far as I'm concerned, the one who missed out Psukhi de Zimra and joined the Tzibur did the right thing. The fact that the second one says, yeah, the Makoyer and the Zohar is, as far as I'm concerned, neither here nor there. Ein lecha isek ben historis. And that's where he paskens the halacha, the Chacham Tzvi. I saw a tshuva in the Noi de Yehuda. We're now about 50 years later, 250 years ago. He says, with regard, he's talking also to the Shoyal. Somebody wrote to the Shoyal and he said, with regard to what you write to me about the Zohar, ma'oid chora api. I'm extremely angry, he writes. I'm extremely angry. Ma'oid al elu on those people ha'oiskim who are dealing with Sefer HaZohar, ubesifrei HaKabbalah, b'fahesia. They give public classes in Kabbalistic teachings. He says, you know what happens in the end? V'zeh, v'zeh, lo'i olu b'yodom. Do you know what they have in the end? Nothing. Neither Peiret Hanigle, nor Peiret Hanifse, they'll end up with nothing. In another tshuva, the Navi Yehuda writes, says tremendous modesty, he says, listen, you the Shoyal, whoever wrote this Shainetz, means a tremendous tzaddik, I have no question about that. And I understand that you are privy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's secrets. Aval ani, writes the Navi Yehuda, the God of HaDoyer, ani ba'ani, what am I? Someach b'chelki, I'm happy with my little portion in Torah, chelek hanigle, just the revealed portion in Shas, the only Asek benistoris. I have no dealings, I have no involvement in the hidden parts of the Torah. The halavai, he says, and I wish that the hidden, that the revealed parts of the Torah, yale biyodi, I wish I'd understand that. He says, you're a great big tzaddik, b'seira, you're one of the yechidei hadeir, I'm just a small person. Now about 200 years ago, in a tshuva discusses, fascinating tshuva, with regard to shaving or cutting one's beard. So he says there to whoever writes to him the shayel, he says, I understand that you allude to Sifrei HaMekubalim, Kabbalistic sources that say do not touch your beard at all. We're not just talking about shaving it off completely. Do not touch it, period. What does the Chassam Sefer write? Ein li esek benistoris. Again, I don't involve myself. If you ever bring these Kabbalistic sources, I don't get involved. He says, one thing I can tell you. Many, many great Rabbonim were completely clean shaven. And he says, what about the greatest of them all, the Baal Asara Ma'amoris, Avi HaMekubalim. He himself was a tremendous Kabbalist, the Rambam Mipanu. Shehu hayom gulach, he was shaven, mibli hishir sar echos, without leaving a single hair on his face. He says, I don't know, you're telling me a halacha based on Kabbalistic sources, I have no asik than histories, and besides, I have evidence that the greatest of the Kabbalists, the Rambam Mipanu himself, was clean shaven. I saw another Chassam Sefer, fascinating shayla. This is a very famous conundrum. Chazal tell us that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. What's the big question? There aren't, as simple as that. There aren't. I think if I'm not mistaken, it's about 300,000. So it's a pretty big lavdafka. What does Chazal mean? So he says, Dvarim halalu, this is somebody asked the Chassam Sefer. So the Chassam Sefer says, I'll tell you the truth. I don't lose that much sleep over this question. Do you know why? Dvarim halalu, this item that you're telling me, this piece of information, lo nimtza b'shat, doesn't say it in the Gemara anyway. If it would say it in the Gemara, we'd have to toil and work out what Chazal meant. Doesn't say it. Ki im, do you know where it says it? The Sifrei HaMekubalim. Ve'ein lonu esek benistoris. He says, the truth is, it's not such a difficult question to answer. Anyway, Chazal already tell us that we are not really experts in which words should be written in full, and which are mole, and which are chota. So we don't really have a full understanding of how many letters there should be in the Torah. But besides that, says the Chassam Sefer, it doesn't say it in Shas. Where does it say it? In Kabbalistic sources? In Lono Esek Ben Historis. Let's not lose too much sleep over it. In another Shuvah, in a third Shuvah, the Chassam Sefer, he writes, and it almost sounds comical, but clearly it's not. He says, Ani Oime, says the Chassam Sefer, I say, anybody who mixes Kabbalah with Halacha, he's over the Issa of sewing Kilayim. What's Kilayim? Not to mix two things that are not supposed to be mixed. He says, don't mix Kabbalah with Halacha. That's what he says. So I continued my search. And we're now about 150 years ago. The tshuva of the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim was the son of the Rebbe. I think it's the son of the Rebbe. So this is dated Tof Reish Chof Beis, 1862. About 160 years or so. And he says, I received your letter. He's writing to Hashem. And he says, I see that you apologize to me. You apologize to me that I'm very sorry, my letter to you only involves the revealed aspects of the Torah. So I apologize for that. So the Divrei Chaim has nothing to apologize for. Lo yodati, I have no idea why you're apologizing. Ze chayenu. That's our life. La'asoik kol hayoim, to toil all day, b'guf ha-Torah, v'halochas, v'ein onu oiskim. We don't get involved, b'chochmat ha-kabbalah, mi-Torah ha-kadosha. Ika askenu b'shas u-poiskim. He writes very, very sharply. V'loi, and not like there are some people, b'nei b'lial, foolish, wicked people, who don't learn the proper way, they don't learn the Torah Sanigla. And what do they say? It's true, we don't have that part, but at least we have the Kabbalistic sources. He says, Ubemas afilu reyach Torah in Bahem. They don't even have a whiff of Torah to them. And that's how he continues in similar vein. And he defends Hasidim over here. He's the son of the Rebbe. He says, it upsets me greatly. Even though one must know, a lot of Hasidus, original Hasidus, is very much based on Kabbalistic teaching. It is. But he says, it pains me, those who say that the Hasidim don't really learn Torah properly, because it's not true. Of course they sit and they learn and they try and work out every Marashah and every Mogen Avraham. This is what he writes. The Divrei Yaakov. Who's the Divrei Yaakov? The Kloisenberger Rebbe, who lived in this country. He passed away about 30 or 40 years ago. He quotes, very interesting, the Mishnah says in Ovis, Asu Siyog Lapeira. The first Mishnah in Ovis, Asu Siyog. What is Siyog? A fence. What does it mean, make a fence to the Torah? So the simple understanding is, as we know, that for example, Chazal in thousands of places says, even though this is mutar min ha-Torah, but we're putting up a fence, a boundary, don't get too close to comfort because you might have to shon be over another year. But he quotes the very original interpretation on that Mishnah of it from the Pirush of the Medrash Shmuel, Loi legalos soideis ha-Torah, do not reveal the secrets of the Torah. That's what it means, make a fence. Don't get too close to those hidden aspects of the Torah. Stand back. Keep your distance. And he said, in most places in Poland, Lefi Yediot, as far as I'm aware, says the Kloisenberger Rebbe, there was no such thing as a public limud of Zohar. No such thing. Vashar Sifrei Kabbalah. There were, he said, some Hasidim, great Yidden, who are Bekiyim in Bekola Torah Kula, who on the quiet, they were able to involve themselves, but not in a public forum, chas v'shalom. And then he says, he writes there, he says, I have an enormous library. Yeshli, he says, Baruch Hashem, le'erech, elef sifrei shailas v'tshuvas. I have 1,000 sforim of shailas and tshuvas, all different responses over the generations. V'loi ra'isi, and I never saw shailas v'tshuvas, Shiyasku Benin Kabbalah. I never saw. He finishes off the tshuva. And he says, my ancestor, the Divrei Chaim, from Tzan, Divrei Chaim, had a dream once. he appeared in the dream after he passed away. After the Divrei Chaim, remember we quoted the Divrei Chaim before, saying they're not being involved in Eisek ben Historis, etc., etc. Zechayenu, to be Eisek in Torah and Niglet. The Divrei Chaim passed away, and he revealed himself in a dream to the Baal Yitav Lev. The Baal Yitav Lev was one of the great, foremost Hasidic Rebbes. And he says he was the Mechutn of the Divrei Chaim. So he came to his Mechutn in a dream after he had passed away. And he says, as my dear Mechutn, the Yedid Ne'eman, my true friend, Hine Miyait Etchem, I'm giving you a tip. I'm giving you a piece of advice. Only be Oisek Benigloit HaTorah, in the revealed aspects of Torah. And he says, I had two friends, says the Divrei Chaim in his dream, who I advised in Olam Hazeh. Listen to my advice. Don't be involved in Kabbalah and the secrets of the Torah. One of them listened to me, and one of them didn't. And he says, and he doesn't explain, but he says, the one who didn't listen to me now has tremendous regrets. If he says, if I'm giving you the same piece of advice, don't get involved in Torah and Historis. Even more up to date, and this is the last Shuvah we'll quote on this subject, this is a fascinating inyan. There is a Luach that's printed in this country. And it's called Dovor Ve'itoy. About 1,000 pages or so. A big thick book. I know my father-in-law is extremely fond of this. Every year it comes out afresh. And the author is Talmud Chacham, lives in Yerushalayim, Reb Mordechai Ganut. And he produces this luach. And this luach has absolutely anything and everything you could possibly think of. I mean, it must have. It's 1,000 pages long. On every day, he has the sites of the halachas of that day, he has the minhagim of the day, he has the yod sites, he has any historical events that happen on the day, he has all the star constellations of that day, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, the position of the moon, anything you can think of, plus hundreds that you couldn't, it's all in this luach. There is a fascinating tshuva that I just found last night in the tshuvas of the Sheva Palevi Reb Ozna, who just passed away 2 or 3 years ago. This is his first tshuva in Chelek Yud. And he writes to Reb Ganut as follows. This Reb Ganut clearly wrote to Reb Ozna, asking him a few questions about what he can and what he should and what he shouldn't include in his luach. In Tovshin Samach, that's the year 2000, 19 years ago. He says that you have asked me, should you make mention in your luach about the Zman of Biyat HaMoshiach? Because apparently, in many Sforim, in Kabbalistic sources, there are references to the fact that in the year Toshin Samach, the Mashiach will come. That's what this Reb Mordechai Ganut had discovered. So he writes to Reb Ozna, the place of Kadosh, I have all the information of the day and of the month and of the week and of the year, so can I include in my Luach that, according to some sources, this is the year that Mashiach is coming? He writes back, Kvoid Yedidi, such a beautiful tshuva. It says, look for my friend, Ein Lanu Eisek Ben Historis. The phrase that all the poskim, the Marashal, and the Chacham Tzvi, and the Nevi Yehuda, and the Chacham and the Chacham Tzvi, they all quoted it, Ein Lanu Eisek Ben Historis. Ubias Mashiach Tzidkenu, the time of Mashiach is hidden from us. Nobody can say with any definitive knowledge, any certainty, when is the time that Mashiach will come. Therefore it's not appropriate to put it out in a luach, which is really a public forum. This is the year that Mashiach comes. and he quotes the Rambam. This is a very, very important Rambam. The Rambam writes as follows. Omru Chachomim. Chazal have told us, what is the difference between the world as we see it today and the Yemei HaMashiach? And the Rambam describes it a little bit. And then he says, V'yesh oimrim, there are some who say that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi will come first. Says the Rambam, the truth of the matter is, all of these matters, lo yeda odom. Nobody really knows, ech yiyu, ad shiyiyu. Nobody knows what it will be like until it will be. Shedvarim stumim him, these are hidden secrets. April Hanavim, even the Chachamim didn't clearly know, and he writes, a word of warning, says the Rambam. La'olam la yis'asek odom v'divrei ha'godos. Don't be involved with these types of inyonim. V'lo yarech v'medroshes. Don't spend too much time looking for medroshes that discuss these inyonim. She'ein mevin. Now listen to the words of the Rambam. Lo yiro v'lo ava. They don't in any way foster yiras Hashem, avas Hashem. It won't do anything for you. Sitzelan, a Gemara, a Rashi, a Tosfos, a Chumash, a Mishnah Brura, a Rebbe Akiva Eiger, that will bring you to Yiras Hashem and Avos Hashem. We're trying to figure out, I wonder what it will look like when Mashiach will come. We'll worry about it when it happens. Nobody really knows what it will be like until indeed it will be. That's what the Rambam says. So Rabbozna in his Tshuva, this Rabbi Galut from Yerushalayim says, there's no point, not only is there no point, it's wrong to start writing, that's it, Mashiach is coming this year in Tavshi and Samach. Now, he gets involved in a discussion, which I don't want to launch into a big way. We once discussed this many years ago. It's a little bit of a controversial topic. Why is it controversial? Because over the course of a generation, some of our greatest gedolim have suggested a date by which Mashiach will come. He writes himself, Milan Ugodel, we have none greater than the Chassam Sefer. And the Chassam Sefer proposed a date by which Mashiach will come. And that time, unfortunately, has come and gone. So we don't know exactly what happened, what the Chassam Sefer meant, why it didn't happen in the day, but it doesn't generate anything positive. He says, Adayin Ein Ben David Bo. Mashiach Ben David still hasn't come. We wait the Bitochen. And he says, Ube'emes, he says, it's quite a lengthy tshuva, he writes to this author of the Lulach, and he says, the truth is, Ho'arichas B'zeh L'loi Tzeirach. There's really no necessity to have a lengthy tshuva, because this was always the way of Goyimim and Tzadikim, Chachomim, over the course of generations, they waited patiently or impatiently for Mashiach. But they didn't involve themselves working out, he will come, he won't come, when will he come, what will he look like when he comes? And therefore he says, he paskens for him. He says, the ikke is, v'machazek acheinu b'nei Yisrael at Mashiach. Will come, v'achakaloi b'chol yeim shayova, it could come any day. Don't write dates in your luach. Now, I didn't check out in the luach, Dabba Be'ito in Tavshi in summer, but we rest assured, if you ask the Shaila of Ravosna, then obviously he did not include it in his luach. Eilon lo'esit ben historis. Just in conclusion, found one or two very fascinating, scary episodes on this topic. In the yeshiva of Volozhin, the Volozhin yeshiva, which was of course the father, the mother of all yeshivas, founded by Rav Chaim Volozhin, the great Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, he said that there was somebody there who was able to decipher the Vilna Gaon's encoded dating of Mashiach. Meaning, the Vilna Gaon has written a sefer called the Safra Vitzinusa. And he writes there, but it's encoded, when Mashiach will come. Now the question is, the $64 billion question, are we able to decode this data? So there was somebody in the times of Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who claimed that he knows how to decode this sefer. He knows when the case, when is the end going to be? And it was causing a big stir. It was causing a big tumult, as you can imagine. There's somebody here who actually knows when Mashiach is going to come. And Reb Chaim Volozhin in Yeshiva saw that this was causing a big noise. And he tried to cause it to die down. Rotzo lahashtik es harash. He wanted to die down, wanted the silence to once again reign. And this person thought that nonetheless, no, I know when it's going to be and I'm going to tell. V'nis'akmu ponov. All of a sudden his whole face became distorted and he was unable to reveal anything. Frightening thing. I read also, in the name of Rav Moshe Sternbuch, Shlita, Sheyarech Yom V'Shamim, he says, in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who now lives here, as you know, he's originally from England, and he learned in the great Schneider's Yeshiva. The Schneider's Yeshiva was headed and founded by Rav Moshe Schneider. He said, I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Schneider, that in the times of the terrible decrees in Russia, Tsar Nicholas was literally snatching young children from their parents and enlisting them to the army, as we know. And people were convinced that this is just, we can't manage anymore. It's intolerable. It must be the Mashiach coming. This is certainly the end. The Zokin Echot, Kodosh Umukubul. There was a holy cabinet. This is what Rav Moshe Schneider tells Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who stood up. And he says that the Vilna Gaon famously alludes, a hint, in code, the time of Mashiach. And he says, although it has always been the custom not to be megale, not to be let known when the Zman of Mashiach is, but I feel it's crucial now that I should reveal the Zman of Mashiach. Why do I feel that? Because there's such depression and yish in Klal Yisrael, I need to be mechazik their spirits. And he says, Vehinani bo umagale. He says, here I am to reveal when the Mashiach is coming. Uba'oisei rega mamsh. At that very moment, he fainted, he had a heart attack, and he dropped dead in front of the whole tzibur. This is what Rav Moshe Schneider tells Rav Moshe Schneider. A kodesh umakubal. Final story of the night. There was a tzaddik, Rav Zundel Misalant. And it is said about him, he was also able to decipher and decode the writings of the Vilna Gaon and work out when Mashiach is going to come. And once people got wind of the fact that he knew when Mashiach was going to come, as you can imagine, they hounded him, please, they begged him, please, please, we want to know, tell us, when is Mashiach going to come? So he said that once I was with Rav Avrom, the son of the Vilna Gaon, son of the Vilna Gaon, and we spoke a lot about this topic about his father, Vilna Gaon, who wrote when Mashiach is coming. And that night I had a dream. And in it, an elderly man came to me with big complaints. Don't get involved in this. This is what Rav Zundel Misalant says. He says, the next day when I woke up, I did an investigation. Tell me, what did the Vilna Gaon look like? And the way they described him exactly matched the person who came to me in the dream. In other words, the Vilna Gaon came to me in a dream. Umezeh hivanti. And from this I understood, she'ein ani ro'u gam la'ayin b'inyan hazeh. This is a no-go area. Don't get involved. Certainly don't publicize it. Eilon Reisik Menesaris. As we mentioned, all of this is not poshut pshat by any stretch of the imagination. The Poshut Pshat, as we mentioned in the beginning from the Sefer HaChinuch, maybe there are other Poshut Pshat, but the Sefer HaChinuch says the reason why we don't eat Gid Anoshet is an eternal commemoration to the fact that Klal Yisrael will never be wiped out, never have been and never will be by the grain. But the Kliyoka, the Derech Remez, says don't chew, don't eat the Gid, which is a reference to the difficult, secretive aspects of the Torah. As the Gemara tells us, in lot of Asik Benis stories. There's plenty to be getting involved with in Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh. So whether it be a Shaila and he'll just fill in like the Marashal, or Shaila Psukit of Zimra, or whether you should cut your beard, or shouldn't cut your beard, or how many letters there are in the Torah, or, as we mentioned now, when exactly is the month of the Mashiach, the Rambam warns us, these in Yonim don't bring Avat Hashem, they don't bring Yiras Hashem, and as the Kriyoka warned us, to the contrary, they can bring Apikorosis. And if we can only perhaps conclude, I think this is a known phenomenon. The idea of Kabbalah centers and the like, which are being run by people who are not qualified Talmidei Chachamim, to put it mildly, has become very, very popular. The mystical secrets of the Torah were being warned by Chazal, as we see, throughout the generations. We've just quoted I tell you, by the way, maybe you should say this is my Bekir, I have a good computer at home. The computer gave me all the results, but I'll tell you the truth. When I researched into this topic, the item came up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. We just mentioned a select, a few examples tonight. But this Indian of Eilon or Asik Ben Historic is something which has reverberated throughout the Deiris. We must, of course, point out there are Yechidei Sgula. There always have been the great Kabbalists. That wasn't what the Poskim were warning us against. What they were warning us was again putting it out there in a public forum. Somebody dabbles in Kabbalah in a private way, or learns Kabbalah in a private way, because he's already mastered Torah Shebichtav, so for the few Yechidim, for the select few G'dayei Hadorim, that therefore is an appropriate method of Limud Torah. But for the 99%, 0.999, for the masses, us included, that's not our derech. It doesn't bring Avas Hashem, doesn't bring Yiras Hashem. To the contrary, as the Kriyoka says, it can bring Apikorsis. Very, very easy to distort when it's not clear. When it's clear, you can't distort. When it's not clear, well, this represents this, and this means that, and this is a muscle for something else, and you come up with all types of completely distorted understandings of the Torah, which not only will not promote a person in the right direction, but rather will drag him downwards and will pull him in the wrong direction. That's what Chazal meant when they said, "Ein lonu esek benistoris."